In the fall of 2013, Gary Temple Bodley began channeling a group of non-physical teachers known as Joshua. Soon thereafter, Joshua asked Gary to start writing. They have since produced 4 books and answered hundreds of questions in written form. In the spring of 2016, on the Law of Attraction cruise, Gary underwent hypnosis and Joshua spoke through him for the first time. Since that time, Gary has been practicing channeling Joshua verbally in live weekly calls with one-on-one students. These Joshua calls are now available to those of you joining us on the Leading Edge of Thought. This is the expansion of the Law of Attraction. This is Joshua Live. We're thrilled you're here.
We are thrilled to be here.
Welcome.
Hey.
Where are we?
God only knows.
Seems so new, so fresh. Such a different environment. What does it mean when you can just land in a different environment? It means like every possibility is now open to you. No one knows who you are. No one knows your past. You can pretend that you're something bigger than you ever thought you were. But you don't always get the new environments, do you? So why do you have to wait for a new environment to be who you want to be? You can be who you want to be in any environment, at any time, in any moment, because in reality, every single moment is brand new. It's never existed before, and it is the basis of any start you want to do. And whether you think you're starting something new, or starting something old, or continuing with the old, or continuing with the limitations, you're choosing to do it again and again and again in every moment. Every time you wake up in the morning, you're choosing the perspective that you're going to have for that day. You're choosing who you're going to be that day. You're choosing how you're going to float through life, or worry through life, or effort through life, or maintain some control over your life. You're choosing that every day anyway. So it doesn't matter if you're starting new. It doesn't matter if you're waking up tomorrow, waking up this morning, waking up 5 years from now. You're starting new every single day. It's a may seem like an easier choice to continue on with the old life, with the old way of doing things. But that's just because you're used to it. That's just because there's a little momentum to it. That's just because it feels comfortable. You believe that radically changing your life, radically doing what you want to do, radically pursuing something brand new is going to be hard. It may not work. You could fail. You might experience negative emotion. There could be manifestation events that you'd want to avoid coming up for you. Why would you worry about that? Wouldn't the benefit of living the most expansive, most elegant, most gratifying, most enjoyable, most preferable life that you've ever lived, in, that you could ever imagine, that you've ever even thought about, wouldn't that dream trump everything else? Wouldn't that dream mean that it's that living the old life means nothing in comparison? There's no reason to hang on to anything. There's no reason to not move towards what you want to do. There's no reason, because it's just one path over another path. One path that would be more exciting, that would be more interesting, that would be more enjoyable, that would be more exhilarating, that would bring up more negative emotion, that would bring up more fear. Oh, so that's it. It's the more negative emotion that has to come along with a more expensive life, with the more of a dream life. Because in order for you to get what you want, you're going to have to rub up against your limiting beliefs. Those limiting beliefs are holding you where you are. Those limiting beliefs are causing you not to take action that you're inspired to take. And in order to get the life that you want, those limiting beliefs have to be dealt with. And if you're not going to deal with them, well, you're going to be placed in manifestation events that allow you to see them. And if you're going to say that manifestation events are wrong because you feel negative emotion, if you're going to worry about negative emotion because you think it feels bad, if you're going to worry about what anything matters, what anything means, what anything is out there, whatever it is how you perceive it anyway. So in the process of choosing the life that you're going to prefer, the choosing the life that's going to excite you, that's going to be fun, that's going to be different, in the choosing of that life, you're going to face up against your limiting beliefs. And you get to choose if those limiting beliefs are worth holding on to or not. But in the coming up against those limiting beliefs, you're going to encounter negative emotion. So then, what do you got to do? What do you have to do in order to live the life you want to live? You're going to have to get good at choosing how you want to perceive those negative emotions, choosing what you want things to mean. That's all you have to get good at. So, with that being said, doesn't it make sense that living in a brand new approach to life has nothing to do with anything you were ever taught, has nothing to do with controlling the conditions or waiting to feel good when you get that promotion or meet that person or buy that car or get that house or get the accolades? None of that means anything. Living the life you choose means only one thing, choosing your perspective. And choosing your perspective is only done so that you can manage the fear that's going to come up. If you can get really good at choosing your perspective, then the fear is not going to really bother you. The negative emotion won't really affect you. Because as soon as you feel negative emotion, you're going to change your perspective. You're going to change your perspective so that it matches the perspective that your inner self has. And in that alignment, equality, the equal perspective, your perspective is equal to your inner self's perspective. You feel good. Your perspective is off from your inner self's perspective. You're out of alignment and you feel bad. Get back into alignment. Get back. Don't dwell on the negative emotion. Don't worry about it. Don't think it means anything. Just think about getting back into alignment. If you got back into alignment, and if you didn't attach yourself to the meaning of anything that exists in your life right now, if you literally said, none of this matters, what I have now doesn't matter. I don't have to hold on to it. I don't have to make sure it doesn't fall down. I can let it catch on fire. It doesn't matter. None of it means anything because this stuff that seems so physical is really intangible, non-physical information. It's just feedback, right? So don't attach yourself to the feedback because that just keeps the same feedback coming, right? If you think you're defined by the feedback that you're getting, well, then the feedback will have to stay around so that you can maintain your definition of self. What if you didn't care about any of this feedback? What if you said, all I'm going to think about, the only thing I'm going to think about is feeling good, because in feeling good, I feel in alignment. In feeling good, I have the same perspective as my inner self. That's the only thing I'm going to care about ever, 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 ever. Nothing else matters at all. I'm having a good time in this moment with this person, but if that person dies, it doesn't matter. If that person leaves, it doesn't matter. If that person stays, it doesn't matter. It's great. You enjoy everything that's here. It's fun to have the feedback, but you don't have to hold on to it because every single day is new. Every single day is new. Why not just stay in alignment and see where the day takes you? That's what we say. And with that, we're done. Bye.
You're so hilarious.
What else is there to say? We just said the most brilliant thing that's ever been said in the history of the world. How do you top that? It can't be topped.
It can't be topped.
Okay, we'll try and top it. Does anyone have anything they want to talk about?
I do, Joshua. I've been having the headaches again. I went for a while. I got rid of them. And I felt like they went away. And they happen while I'm sleeping. And I've really been, like, trying to notice my emotions, to be aware. I'm pushing through fear. I'm noticing limiting beliefs. Yet I'm feeling that the more I'm doing this, the more sensitive I am becoming. And so it's like even the tiniest little blip in my limiting beliefs or a tiny, tiny little negative emotion I feel like is setting these off. And
well, disassociate any meaning from the headaches.
Okay.
Imagine the headaches don't mean anything. Imagine that having headaches doesn't mean you're a good person or a bad person.
Right. I got that.
Having headaches doesn't mean that you're that you're on your path or off your path.
Okay.
Okay. The end of the headaches does not mean you're good or that you've done something right.
Okay.
The presence of the headaches does not mean you're bad or that you've done something wrong.
Okay.
So you're associating pain with punishment.
No, I think I'm getting so much better about that because you've told me that before. So, like, I think I've told you, I get a headache, I'll get up, I'll go sit outside, I try to embrace it, think, okay, why am I awake at this hour? You know, I'm trying to really not look at it as being wrong, as truly everything is for me. So how could this be for me?
Well, the next level of that we're saying is that if you perceive that you're being good, that you're moving along your spiritual path, that you're learning how to be an allower, that in this allowing, you're non-resistance, that the resistance is what led to, over a period of time, to the headaches. And that now you're being less resistance, therefore the headache should go away. And so you say to yourself, I've been good. I've been an allower. I've been less resistant. I've been non-resistant. I've been doing all the work. I've been seeing my life from a different perspective. And now the headaches are coming back.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that I haven't been doing it right. I haven't been as non-resistant as I thought. I hadn't been as allowing as I thought. I've been resisting more than I thought. Because if I wasn't resisting, the headaches would be gone. So I must be resisting. And the resistance is the sign of the headaches. So you're attaching some meaning to what the headaches are. And that is the same old good, bad, right, wrong thing. I'm not being good, so there's the headaches. That's the punishment for not being good. That's the punishment for not being an allower. That's the punishment for being resistant. Right? Disassociate the meaning from anything. Because you are not here to prove yourself an allower. And the while it is true that unwanted physical conditions are the result of prolonged resistance. And you can manifest the life you want. You can create the reality you want by being an allower. It doesn't mean that the headaches will go away. Because when you create the life you truly want, that's the life that you intended prior to your birth. Certain aspects of this, of your life, your body, your way of thinking, your talents and attributes are part of that, and they come forth sometimes for reasons you don't understand. So, for instance, you became an allower, and you realized the ability to communicate with animals.
Mm-hmm.
Right? This was a natural ability that was always within you the whole time. This was what you intended to do the whole time. You found that by becoming an allower, by being non-resistant.
Okay.
That is a wonderful thing, is it not? You found a passion.
Yes.
Right. That is a wonderful thing. Okay. Now, you think that the headaches are a bad thing, but the headaches could be the thing that allows you to do what you're doing. It could be one of the side effects that allows you to do what you're doing. We're not saying it is, but we want to help you look at it in a way that allows you to see the benefit of the headaches instead of the pain of the headaches.
Hmm.
Okay? Maybe the headache right now in this moment is necessary for you to move along the path towards you want, where you want to go. And maybe when it's no longer necessary, it won't be there. And that means that those things that are necessary for you to get what you need to get, for you to do what you want to do, for you to explore reality as you intended to explore it, those things are going to be part and parcel of what's going on in your life, even if you think they're bad things. So thinking that this is a bad thing is just, sure, it's a little more resistance. But being completely non-resistant doesn't mean that you're not going to need those headaches to do what you want to do. It could mean that the more powerful the headaches, the more powerful stuff's coming through you.
Wow.
And,
okay.
we say, when you start to take these higher perspectives on things like this, this is the level of non-resistance that we're talking about.
Okay.
Not only seeing it as, oh, when I create my reality, those things I don't like will go away. It's no. when I create my reality, I'll have the power of perspective to understand that if these things are here, they're here for me.
Yeah.
And not to want them to go away. And to say, they're here for me. That must be a gift. And to understand the gift. Right? So this is like the story of The Secret and the very basics of the Law of Attraction. If you think positive thoughts, then positive things will happen to you. Okay. Now you know more than that, don't you? There's 50 layers deep into that. It's not just thinking positive thoughts. It's not just non-resistance. It's acceptance. Right?
Okay.
Isn't acceptance much more deeper and more powerful than non-resistance?
Oh,
acceptance. Unconditional acceptance. Unconditional love. Unconditional appreciation of everything that's happening. Nothing is wrong. Nothing is wrong. These headaches are not wrong. These headaches are here to allow me to do what I want to do. I can't see what they're for. I have faith that there's something more going on here that I can't see. I know that everything's for me. If these headaches are here, they're for me. For me to wish they're not here is for me to deny that I'm the creator of my reality, to deny the powers of the universe, to deny the law of attraction, to deny, resist, that it's all for me. Right. Now, everything about this whole thing is still a control.
Right?
A little bit of control. I'm going to control my ability to allow so that I can get rid of these headaches. I'm going to control my ability to resist or not resist in order to make something happen that I think is wrong. You know, to make something happen, to get rid of something I think is wrong. That's an essence of what you're saying. It's a deeper idea here. I mean, here you are, a master of this information, a master teacher. And here you are getting to learn the deep basis of everything is right. Of there is no wrong, right? So that you can teach this to others.
Right.
Now, imagine this. Imagine that there are a certain number of people who are listening to this, to these teachings over a period of time, right?
Okay.
These teachings are the leading edge of the leading edge of the leading edge of thought. This is way above and beyond anything that's going on right now. This is specific, detailed stuff. This is stuff that most people wouldn't believe. And here you are getting deeper and deeper into it. And one of the, we'll say, most in-depth students. And you're getting to learn a new level of acceptance, of unconditional acceptance. And you do that through the headaches. The headaches help you do that. They help you ask this question. They help you focus your attention. They help you choose a perspective. They do all this stuff for you because you intended to learn this information and to teach it and share it and bring it forth in love with other people in a way that only you can, that no one else can, right? And so for you to understand what true acceptance is, this is the way it works for you.
Great. Okay, so I totally hear you on all this. I really do. So in the moment...
We say the word great sounds a little sarcastic.
No, I'm not at all. I know. I've thought along these lines many times, Joshua. I mean, I've actually sometimes when I'm sitting out in the courtyard in the middle of the night, I enjoy it. I really do because it gets me to, like you said, I go a little deeper. I go a little below the surface and see, you know, what was I thinking today? What came up that was a limiting belief? And I get that. The pain though is often over. And I'm just wondering if should I be soothing myself? Should I be talking to myself just like you were talking to me here, that this is an opportunity to practice unconditional acceptance with this pain, accept the pain, allow the pain, just allow the process.
What does everyone else think?
I was relating your migraines in my mind to my experiences with my parenting partner where, you know, like I saw, oh, I'm making all this progress, and I saw that relationship transform. And then when we would have something come up where it felt like a sort of regression, then I thought, oh, I must be doing something wrong. And so just this last week we had an incident come up. Things have been going really well. We had an incident come up where we had differing opinions, and it felt, I experienced fear, and then like it came up in the form of negative emotion that felt like pain for lots of reasons. You know, I felt sad and mad and all these things, and started to go back into that. Okay, what am I doing wrong? Because things were going so well. But before long at all, I was able to just in the moment, even as we were disagreeing, see the progress that we made and how far we'd come, how far I'd come, and being able to accept these kinds of encounters. And so like, I just like they were just saying was, and like you were just saying, like, how do I respond? Do I be thankful for the opportunity to practice? That was the place that I got to where I was just like, thank goodness I'm getting another opportunity to practice, like being comfortable in the, like in the uncomfortable. Like we were, yeah, like we've been talking about. So
you chose, like,
reacting with gratitude.
You chose these lives. You chose these explorations. You chose to get deep into this, right? You're both coming at it from different angles, but they're both equally painful as far as actual pain, the headaches and the fear around the parenting partner. They're just different angles of the same kind of pain. And so you both have your ability to choose your perspective on these things and choose to be resistant to the pain or unconditionally accept the pain without asking the pain to go away.
I like that.
It would be like Kyla saying, I unconditionally accept my parenting partner without asking him to go away. Right? Because most people in that situation would be happy if the parenting partner went away so that they could just do what they wanted to do, control the situation perfectly, and not bump up against any perceived problems. But the perceived problems are the part where you get to use what you're trying to learn here. Right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if the migraines went away forever, then what would be happening right now? You would have difficulty moving to the next level of that information and that practice that you wanted so desperately, not desperately, so much to explore. You would just be he humming along with this level of understanding. We'll say it's a 5 of understanding what unconditional acceptance is. And now you're experiencing, once you get to this level 5, you're experiencing level 6 of depth. And don't worry, because it only goes up to level 32 million.
So why even try to make it go?
Because you wanted to. You wanted to. You wanted to get to this level of understanding of acceptance. Not because it will make anything different, you know. Not because you'll be any better. Not because life will be smoother, right? Go back to the basics of the law of attraction. Think positive thoughts, positive things happen to you. While that's true, the only reason people are thinking positive thoughts is to get their life feeling better, is to get things to change. It's a control mechanism, right?
Yeah.
Okay, we say, choose a better perspective so that you can be in alignment with your inner self and then allow whatever's going to happen.
Huh.
And then understand that whatever happens based on that is based on the exploration that you chose prior to your birth. And that if everything in your life, when it didn't happen, exactly as it's happened up to this exact moment in life, you couldn't be at this level where you are now. And this is the level where you wanted to be.
Mm.
This is the stuff that you wanted to do. This is a – how long do the migraines last?
Anywhere from an hour to 4 hours.
Okay. That's really how long this life lasts. When you look back at this life from the non-physical, it'll feel like around 4 hours to you.
Wow.
Right? So it's not a big deal. In the big grand scheme of things, it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
It's exciting. It's interesting. And you look back at it. But from your perspective, things seem so much more long-term, meaningful, important, you know.
You get it wrong.
You get things wrong. You have to worry about getting it wrong. You have to worry about not making mistakes. You have to worry about not failing, things like that. So imagine the difference in perspective where you think your life lasts 100 years, but for the non-physical, it'll seem like a few moments, a blip in time. That's the perspective of your inner self. So if you take that perspective, which is 10,000 times higher than what you think a high perspective is, you start taking that higher perspective and higher perspective and higher perspective. And that higher perspective is a choice of words that you say to yourself. It is a way of looking at things that you say to yourself. Yeah. And the higher perspective that you choose, the easier it will be to process all these fears around anything. And we can even say now that this isn't even a fear because we can sense inside you that there's some excitement there too.
Oh, there is. And the other day I had one and I was sitting outside and just thinking, I got the best thought. I mean, the best inspiration about the animal teachings right now. As clear as day, I heard, don't worry about, because I don't want to charge. I want to just put it out there. And then I thought, well, is that a fear of not asking for money? And I heard, no. Do this joyously. Allow this to come through you. Money will come in other ways. And it was like, oh my God, that was just so exciting. And I just felt so good. And that was in the midst of a really, really bad headache.
Yeah.
So now I'm understanding that a little better.
Imagine maintaining your alignment in the midst of what would have jolted you out of alignment before.
Yeah.
That is incredible progress.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure is
so
for me.
In that, being aligned in the midst of something that would have brought you out of alignment, you receive inspiration. You receive feedback instantly. You receive clear communication. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you can, you're an abundant person. You're one of the most abundant people on this planet right now. Mm. You're in the top percentile of abundance. You create anything you want. You are good at that. And so it doesn't have to come from this and that. You see, when Gary does a question for free, well, that's what that answer's worth.
Mm.
And that's fine. And that's fine. And it goes into a collection that people can read and people can gain from. And then when someone is ready to do a one-on-one, well, then it might be appropriate to pay for it then, right? And in the paying for it, they will be urged or not urged. They will be inspired to take it seriously because they're paying for it.
Mm. Yeah.
When you talk to your animals, you're doing a benefit for their owners and for the animals themselves, right? Mm-hmm. And so you're bringing joy in and communication in and you don't have to get money back from that. It can come from anywhere. Gary didn't, most of the money that Gary has is not from Joshua. You know, it comes from wherever. And if you were to look at, that influx, you would say that's just pure luck, which most people would say. It's amazing. It's incredible.
Yeah, right.
It's pure luck. How did he get so lucky? That sort of thing, right? But it's just because he doesn't care if it comes from there or there or there or there. It doesn't matter. Those of you who want to be abundant cannot care where it comes from, cannot even really worry about it, cannot even plan for it, can just allow it. And when you start allowing for money to come from wherever, the money doesn't even have to come. It's the things you need when you need them to come.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't need a lot of stuff, you won't need a lot of money. But if you put yourself out there to explore how you came here to explore, well, then that money has to come for that, or whatever has to come. The money is just one of many tools for things to come. So it makes it easy. Yeah. So you and Kyla and others are exploring this idea of unconditional acceptance. And in that, you have helpers with you. And Kyla has her parenting partner, and you have your migraines. So thank them, because they're gifts.
Okay.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Yep. Who else would like to go?
I might jump in, Joshua.
Go.
Excellent.
Hello. Well, I, my question relates to what Wendy was just talking about and what you were talking about on the subject of abundance. I'm currently in the perfect storm of perceived lack of money, because of, you know, blowing the budget on holiday and getting only a portion of my last pay, and getting my first check for my new job later than I thought. So for the past week or so, and for another few week at least, I am literally borrowing from friends to live on.
Okay. So what's the difference between winning a lottery and borrowing from friends?
Well, I suppose there isn't from a perspective.
You are getting what you need to do what you need to do. It doesn't matter where it comes from.
But
you think that one is better than the other. But there are things in these things that you can't see. So as long as you get what you need, it doesn't matter where it comes from.
I agree, Joshua. And I think this time around, it's not the first time that I'm facing. I mean, abundance has been a recurrent theme for me. And this time around, I've really gone about it in a really allowing state. I refuse to wait for that payday to arrive to start living again or to enjoy life. It's really allowed me to really focus on what's around me, the abundance, the luck that I have, the abundance that I have. And I've got nothing to complain about. I've got enough to live on and eat, et cetera, et cetera.
But
at the back of my mind, I still
had
that
more to worry about.
I've had that thought, you know, as Abraham would say, how do you turn what the money that's into my vortex into the bank account? And I've been practicing that allowing to make
that's
things
how you do it. Yeah.
Happen. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, so here you are. The feeling of abundance is the feeling of confidence and faith. If the money's in the bank account, that's great. But it doesn't matter. Because whether you can read numbers on a piece of paper or whether you can feel that you're being taken care of, as long as that feeling feels like faith, like you know for sure that everything you need will come when you need it. And these times of doubt give you an opportunity to prove your faith, to look at your life in a way just like you're doing, more optimistically, more carefree, more confidently, knowing that unlike past times when you had hardship difficulties with money, that now you have the sense of faith, that now you're feeling more optimistic, that now you're feeling like things are just, this is just temporary. I know things are going to turn around. It's going to be fine. I'm not worried. I'm going to enjoy life. In fact, I'm not going to be overly frugal during this time. I'm going to still enjoy life.
That's what I'm doing.
Wine. I'm going to still buy good food. I'm still going to, you know, do what I want to do with my friends, that sort of thing. And this attitude proves to the universe that you're ready for the next level of abundance.
But I was wondering, Yep.
Until you diminish the intensity of these limiting beliefs about money, you can't get more money. Until you diminish these limiting beliefs about lack, you will have to get more lack. That's the law of attraction right there.
I really feel like I've made progress in feeling the abundance even when I don't perceive to have it. What my questions were, and I was trying not to be too conditional about it, but can I manifest a certain amount of money to do a certain thing just to allow it in my exist? I'll give you a very specific example of something that happened that was on my flight back after I was in San Francisco. I was at the airport and I was just about to take a flight back to Paris, and I had about $9 left in my pockets. And I was a bit hungry and decided I wanted to get something to eat before I would board the plane. It was quite late in the evening. And I went to it was a very small, there weren't many shops. And the first thing to buy for food was $11. And I thought to myself, I'm just going to have to buy some crap or something. I didn't want to get some money out just for that. Anyway, I went back to my seat and I decided to put my flight socks on, and I wanted to go in a remote, like, discreet area where I would be away from people. And I went there and I sat down and I saw there were empty seats, and the seat right in front of me, I saw some dollars. There were two $1 bills. There were $2 there.
Wow.
And I just had to laugh, and I just had my meal before I got on the plane. And that just made me laugh, you know, inside. So I just the pure allowing that got me to this cycle. So now I'm in that state again. And I'm in complete state of allowing. I mean, I'm enjoying every day and enjoying my garden and everything. And I'm not worried at all about the financial aspect, but there are things that I want to do before I get paid. And I'm thinking, do I just trust that if it is in my greater good to do it, the money will somehow turn up or something?
What is the thing that you want to do before you get paid?
Well, I wanted the next weekend's a long bank holiday weekend, and I wanted to go away for the weekend, go down to London.
Okay. And why do you want to go to London?
Wendy?
Oh. Well, I knew that Wendy was going to be around. Uh-huh. And
because it's going to be fun and interesting.
Exactly.
And this is, it seems like this coincidence that a friend is going to be in London at this time when you don't seem to have the money you need to go there. That doesn't make sense, does it?
It doesn't.
Right. Now, if you were to say, I want to go to London because it's horrible here now, and it'll be so much nicer there than it is here, and things will be better there than here, then we would say, that's just an earth change of conditions. Here you are, wanting to move towards something because it's interesting and exciting and fun. And this, is inspiration. So any way that comes to you, as long as you stay in inspiration, don't say, oh, I can't do it. Isn't it a shame I can't do it? Oh, I wish I could do it. Oh, how unfortunate for me that I am in this period of lack that now I can't do anything. Oh, that's terrible that I can't do it. Why is this happening to me? That sort of thing. In that sort of thing, well, you're just going to sink below the emotional horizon line, and you're not going to receive the inspiration to do what needs to be done. Now, in the idea that, ooh, this is interesting. Isn't this funny that friends are coming in town, that it's a bank holiday weekend, and that I find myself in this, strange period of events occurring, so that now I have a what appears to be a lack of money. So why do you think this happened? Why in the universe would the universe create this situation for you right now? Of all times, right? Isn't it a perfect storm, as you said, of being not getting all the money from the past job, not getting the money from the new job next, and people being in town, and it being a bank holiday? Adopt the stance of curiosity and then just be amazed how it turns out, with the condition that any source of the manifestation is right. No matter how the money comes, no matter how you get down there, it's all right. There is no wrong way for this to happen, right? So if you have the inspiration to go to the corner and hold up a sign, please send me to London, I need a few quid, that's one way to do it. If you have the inspiration to borrow it from friends and family, that's another way to do it. If you have the inspiration to sell your most prized possession, that's the way to do it.
Your body.
Yeah. Go with the inspiration.
I was just talking about. I think I have some. I think I do have. As much as I've been allowing, I think I do have. I might have some limitations on the way we allow that money.
Right.
I kind of have.
That's a limiting belief.
Yeah.
Limiting belief.
Because I think I've used up the borrowing thing or.
Maybe there's another 10 levels worth of borrowing that you can explore now.
No, you can
take the borrowing to heights you never dreamed of before. Or some other inspiration will come. And in that inspiration, you'll feel a little of fear. The inspiration could be, oh, I should call this person. They have money. I should call them. But you'll say, oh, no, that's bad. It's bad to call them. But the call is the inspiration, not the result of the call. So just take the first step. Just take the first step. Right? You might have the inspiration to call someone to borrow money, and they might say to you, by the way, I forgot that I owed you money from before. You never know where it's going to come.
So. That'll be the day. Yeah, well, I could win the lottery this week. You never know.
That takes too long to get paid, though. You have to fill out papers. Yep. You do not want to win the lottery.
I know. You've told me that before.
You want to win the abundance protocol.
Yeah. No, I think I've definitely improved on that front, and it's I'm just looking at it as a game, so it's just these little fine tuning and just seeing how things pan out. But
well, enjoy your weekend in London, because we know it's going to happen.
And you know, like you said before, I will try to allow and accept the conditions as they come, and if I end up staying in Leeds, then I'll just have a fabulous time here.
We have had this conversation with you in a forum where there's 6 million people out there listening to you, and each one of them can't wait to see how you get to London. So
on the next episode. Yeah.
So if you stay in Leeds, it will mean that you succumbed to the fear that presented itself when inspiration struck.
I've just been inspired an idea to ask for one cent from each of the 6 million listeners.
Well, unfortunately, this will not be available to those people to listen to until you get back from London.
Bad timing. That's true.
Excellent.
Well, next trip. Thank you.
Who's next? Let's have someone interesting this time. Someone fascinating. Let's get a difficult question.
Let's not rehash the old same shit. Okay, guys? Oh, well, then I can't.
That's all we're doing here. Physical reality.
That's right.
We are not rehashing the same shit. This is all new shit that you're experiencing now. None of you have ever experienced anything like this before. This is the next level, the next level. You will, even if it seems like you're rehashing anything, you're doing it from another vibrational stance. So you're looking at it from another perspective no matter what you're doing. Yeah. So you could do what seems like the thing you've done every day of your life, but because you've expanded by doing it the previous days, it's done from another perspective, a completely different vibrational perspective. And how you choose to look at life could be, oh, this is the same old thing. But from vibrational terms, the you that exists now is so different than the you that existed yesterday, that has so much possibility for newness, that even if you're doing the same thing, it is absolutely different, and it can be seen as absolutely different and absolutely new and absolutely from a different perspective. If you were to water bonsai trees the exact same way that you've done it for 10 years, the first day of the 11th year can be seen as a completely new and blissful way of watering the bonsai trees. So you sort of get into not a habit of doing things, but a habit of choosing perspectives around what you think is the same thing you're always doing. And that's when the new things, when those things happen, they seem so big and so out there to you. Mm. Yeah. Okay. So with that being said, we can't wait for the next question to come along. It's going to be so good. It's going to be so inspiring. It's going to bring up so much new information.
I don't want to hold the ground, but go on, Isabel.
Isabel, we're waiting for you.
Okay. So for the first time, I actually blocked a person, blocked them on Facebook, and blocked them on Messenger. And after I did it, I went, I shouldn't have done that.
Why not?
And
why not block the people that consistently cause you to feel negative emotion?
I'm like, I was not allowing, right? That was my first thought after I did it. I was not allowing.
Can you be allowing yet with them?
Then I thought about the tornado with my mother. And then I said, you know what? If I need a device for not right now to block this angry person, it might be okay. It might be okay that I can do this. But it was weird, Joshua, because I've never blocked anyone in my life. So for me to do it was like so abnormal for me that I was just like, I was all confused.
Well, this
I was like, this is not allowing behavior.
Yes. This is the absolute perfect question that we were hoping for. So here you are, understanding the laws of the universe, understanding that you're on this path to becoming an allower, to moving from fear to love. So allowing is love. Acceptance is love, right? Choosing the proper perspective is love. Maintaining your alignment is the most important thing, right? And now here you are, the student of these teachings, perceiving that allowing is a very important aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
And of course it is. Unconditional love and acceptance is a very important aspect of it. The ability to choose a perspective is what allows you to stay in alignment.
Mm-hmm.
And this person made it very difficult to choose the higher perspective.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to everyone else that was a little bit easier. Other people on Facebook, you can just go right through them. Not even read them.
Yeah.
Dismiss them. They're not important. It doesn't cause any negative emotion.
Right.
So now think about this person. What was it about this person? What was it about this person that specifically brought up fear? Fear that you
I think the relentless. I think it was the relentless of it. It's like the anger would not diminish. It just was a constant flow.
Whose anger?
His.
Yes.
Well, why would you want his anger to diminish? Why would you want the parenting partner to be different than he is? Why would you want the migraines to be different than they are?
Right.
Well, there is a reason you want that.
Sure.
Well, you can feel better.
So you can feel better. So if he, you believe that if he is gone, you can feel better, which is true, by the way. Mm. Right? To an extent, because here you are on the flip side of that saying, yes, well, I feel better, but now I feel bad because I wasn't unconditionally loving and I should be.
And I was controlling.
More allowing, and I controlled this whole thing, right?
I didn't. Mm-hmm.
But there's a way to soften that as well by saying that in this area, I choose to look at my limiting beliefs my own way. I do not need this right now. Okay? This is too much for me. I'm going to temporarily choose to ignore this, block this, take this out of my life, and then I will find a better perspective. I will soften this. I will ease it. I will look at the fear on my own terms, and when I'm ready, maybe I'll bring it back. He's not
wrong.
That
is so comforting.
Right? He's not wrong. That's the biggest thing here. He's not wrong.
Right.
The migraines aren't wrong. The parenting partner's not wrong. None of these people are wrong, right? You're just not ready to deal with that head on. You prefer a softer, slower way to go. Now, if you think he's wrong, and if you think that you're right by your fear being rational, which it's not, it's irrational, right? If you if you're going to stick to your guns and saying he should be different than he is, I'm blocking him because he should not be allowed to interact with me on Facebook or any other way. I'll get a restraining order. I'll do all these things, right? If you maintain that he's wrong and you're right, rather than he's right and you have fear, you're going to attract other forms of that manifestation event. But by saying, I understand he's right. I understand that I have fear. But I also understand that this is causing me to lose alignment and that I'm not ready to for the full frontal of this right now. I'm going to meditate. I'm going to think about why I feel fear. I'm going to have time to process it. And thank you, universe, for bringing him along so that I can look at this one limiting belief because I know that I have to reduce the intensity of this limiting belief to attract that which I want. Can you say what it was about anything that caused the fear? What was the fear? Can you point to a fear?
I'm not really good at people threatening me.
Okay, well, so so is it a, it's a fear of some loss. It could be a fear of loss of life, of a loss of status, a loss of income, a loss of whatever that is, right?
Okay. Yeah.
So then, if it's a fear of a loss of life, then it's a rational fear. If it's a fear of loss of status, then that's an irrational fear because you do not need status to be alive in physical reality. That's not of any benefit to you. You didn't come here to be thought of as special. If he's going to threaten you with even financial problems, right, that's still an irrational fear because
you
do not need money. Look at our note. He's doing just fine. Right. So if you can just identify, is it a rational fear? Is it an irrational fear? And then soften it that way without him having to be in the picture, that's good. But now think a little bit deeper about that. There's something that you want. There's some desires that are unfulfilled that, that you want. And in order to be to manifest those desires in your reality, you have to become a vibrational match to them, right?
Sure.
If they don't exist in your reality right now, if they're not in your life right now, then there's something about you that's blocking them. Well, we shouldn't say anything's blocking them. We should say it's resisting them. And the resistance comes from limiting beliefs. And one of these limiting beliefs happens to be the same limiting belief that's being triggered right now. And the way you're perceiving it, too, could be part of this whole thing too. You could be perceiving this attack as way more intense than it is.
Sure.
Okay. So what you're being led to here is a softening of this idea of loss. Not thinking it's such a big deal. It's not such a big deal. The thing that you have to lose isn't that big of a deal.
Yeah.
So soften that. Take a look at the limiting belief. And then hopefully you will get another manifestation event in the same area, slightly less intense, that you can say, oh, here's another look at it. But manifestation events can be avoided by you consciously looking at what limiting beliefs you may have around the things. Why doesn't something you want exist in your life? 100% of the time, it's due to a way of thinking, a belief about the thing, a belief about yourself, a belief about what it will mean in your life. In order to become a match to that which you want and do not have, you have to change your vibration. In order to change your vibration, you will most likely have to have a different set of beliefs. Because you are going to be asked to do things, to take action. And if you have a limiting belief that prevents you from taking the action, then you can't take the action, obviously. And you can't get what you want. So, so instead of your desire being thrust upon you, the universe is taking the, let's dip into the pool one toe at a time, so that you'll be ready when you get to the deep end.
Yes.
You know, rather than just throwing you in the deep end. Because if your desire came right now, you wouldn't be ready for it.
Right.
If Gary was told 4.5 years ago that he'd have to write 5 books and do all these events and channel Joshua every week and have 2 podcasts and all that, he'd say, no, I don't want that. I absolutely do not want that. But because it's been gradual, because his beliefs have changed little by little, because he doesn't think it's nearly as weird as he once did think it was, now he's expanding to more and more and more and more and more. And now it's becoming fun and fun and fun. And now he looks back and goes, thank God it happened the way it did. It didn't need to happen any differently than it did. And as he's processing fear around what it means to do the things that he's doing right now, he's able to take inspired action. He's able to actually take the action he's inspired to take. But if these ideas came to him 4.5 years ago, he would never take the action. You have to do it when you're ready. And you're just not quite ready yet, but this manifestation event, if you take it as a gift rather than believing he's wrong, if you take it as a gift, then you've automatically adjusted your belief system. Just in that one perspective change from seeing it as he's being wrong to this is actually a gift. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Because you want big things, and where you want to be is a complete life-changing difference from where you are now. Mm-hmm. And so it's going to have to come gradually because you do not want it to come all at one time. You wouldn't be ready for it. Nobody would be.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm really happy that you gave me the perspective that I can slow it down. So, like, obviously, when I blocked him, right, which was an unusual pattern for me, was probably just like my inner, you know, my fear saying, you know what, I'm not ready to spar. I'm just going to step back. I'm just taking a breather.
Yeah.
And then I can soften that with me. Like, you know what, Isabel, it's okay. You blocked him. It's not the end of the world. It's okay. He's not wrong. It's fine. But it's okay for you to take a break. It's okay.
Compare it to the Isabel 5 years ago who would have said, he's a jerk. I'm blocking him. And people should be aware of what a jerk he is. And I'm going to make sure that everyone knows what a jerk he is and then how wrong he is and how right I am. Right. So that change is so immense and will lead to so much benefit. Just that one idea that there is no wrong, that I feel fear and that I'm just not ready to face the fear right now.
Yes.
Best question and answer in the history of the world, in the history of the universe, up to this point.
I'd just like to chime in there, Joshua, as because just to show some contrast with this, same guy, I blocked him as well, never had a problem blocking him because I know you can just unblock them as well. But he harassed me, he has threatened me as well, and the way I reacted to it was different from Isabel. So my reaction is ignore. I completely ignore him. I don't know if that's, you know, not processing my fear or just not dealing with it now. Is it like this morning? I got 4 calls from him last night, missed calls. I didn't know, but you can tell on your phone it says blocked messages, and he's able to leave me a message, but I don't get a notification when he calls. Anyway, I listened to 2 of those messages. And then I was scrolling through my email this morning, and I saw an email from him. I was like, oh. And then I didn't open it. All you could do is read the first, like, few words. And the first few words are, you are such a C-U-N-T, this, that. And I went, oh, okay. And so I just immediately deleted it because I didn't want to open it and read it at all. Because now, am I ignoring this? Am I, you know, avoiding something? Should I have opened it? Or, you know, I feel like for this guy, like I have very, like the intensity of the fear is small because I believe that he cannot hurt me. I believe, you know, he can't do anything and ruin my name or, you know, but I'm just like, ugh. But I ignore him.
Well, question your definition of the term ignore.
Okay.
If you ignored him, you wouldn't listen to the messages. You wouldn't read the first few lines of the email. You would ignore.
Well, I as soon as I saw it, I mean, it was, I guess I could have just deleted it, but I just happened to see the words. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to read that. So I deleted it.
Yes. So we say that there is a little bit of believing he's wrong in here. And you're sort of ramping up this idea that he's wrong. For the fun of it, we'll say. For the enjoyment of it. For the drama of it.
Mm.
You know? For the ability to you to say, Isabel, you won't believe what he just left me on a voicemail. You won't believe what this guy... So that you can get together and you can talk about him and you can share your... share how wrong you think he is with somebody else.
And, yep.
And you are engaging the laws of the universe. You are leveraging the laws of the universe to bring out more wrong and more wrong and more wrong and more wrong. You are not turning the other cheek. Turning the other cheek doesn't mean you accept him. Doesn't mean that he's a good guy. You turn the other cheek towards what you prefer. This is what you do not prefer. There's nothing wrong with it. It doesn't mean it doesn't have to exist in the world. You're just turning your cheek to what you prefer. So what do you prefer?
What do I prefer?
Conversations with your children.
Yes. Good conversations with my friends. Exercise. Absolutely.
Eating well. Traveling.
Eating well.
Mm-hmm. Reading inspiring things.
Creating. Yes.
Creating. Right. That isn't what you prefer. Yet you're focusing a certain percentage of your attention. Okay. And so we don't mean my time. Because time doesn't exist. Your attention. Your attention has a volume meter on it. That which you think is wonderful is high volume. That which you think is horrible is high volume. This is a high volume subject matter here. All your attention is focused on it. You're thinking about it even when it's not right in front of you. Even in your ignoring it, you're thinking about it. Because you're not really ignoring it. You're giving it high attention. And ignoring it would be giving it low attention, low intensity, low volume. The high volume doesn't do anything other than highlight a limiting belief. And that limiting belief will have to be addressed. because the high volume attention is saying that this is the thing that I'm focused on right now. This is a belief I have right now. And this belief is focused in this way. And so the law of attraction says the focus of the belief in this way is aligned with this thing that you do not want. But the law of attraction doesn't know you do not want it. It just says the focus is there. The belief is there. It's aligned there. This intensity is there. Let's give them more of that. More of what they do not want. You do not want that. You want the other. So focus on the other. Focus on what you're going to do next. What you're interested in, what you're passionate about, the fun that you're having. And just, when you say ignore it, we mean literally ignore it. Never look at an email. Never look at a phone message. Never talk about it with friends. Never worry about it. Let it go. Let it go. He's fine as he is. He'll find somebody else who needs that reminder that that limiting belief is not serving them. He's given you enough reminders, so now you can move on. Now, isn't it interesting that you and Isabel have the same person highlighting a little bit different shades of a little bit different limiting belief because you have different desires? But the same person is useful in these two situations. But that person to you, while they may have the same name and the same, you know, take up the same space on Earth, is a different person to you than he is to Isabel.
Mm-hmm.
How you see this person is completely different than how Isabel sees this person. When you complain about him, it's a different complaint than Isabel has about him. When you detail him, talk about him, describe him, it's a different description than Isabel has about him. And even though when you say what you say, you assume Isabel is hearing what you say, but Isabel is just hearing what she believes about him.
Right.
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 Yeah. So, okay, you've decided to ignore him. Let's imagine that that is the best course of action. In the ignoring of him, you allow him to be as he is, you thank him for bringing up this negative emotion so that you can understand limiting belief. And you turn your cheek and focus on what you want.
Okay.
He's not wrong. You're not right. It's no big deal. It's all working out. This is something I didn't prefer. Now I'm focused on something I prefer. Focus on what you prefer. Focus on what you prefer. Dial up that intensity and just dial down the intensity of everything else.
Got it.
That made the best question in the history of the world even better.
I know.
Very good.
It can pertain to so many things. That's what's wonderful
right.
about it.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. All right. Do we have time for one more? Is there one more brave person?
There's always time.
Drew, nothing, Drew.
Yeah, I was curious about Drew. If Drew had anything.
Genevieve? Drew, you must be on mute. We can't hear you. Genevieve? We're wasting air time. Come on.
Genevieve. I didn't want to go because I feel like, you know, a lot of times when I get on the calls, I'm feeling just like a victim or something. But lately, and it's been for a while now, like I feel like I'm regressing and going back into this like depressed state. Mm-hmm. And like when I look around, I feel like there is nothing, well, not nothing, but there's very little in my life that I want. And the other part of it is like, I don't always have the desire to even do anything. Like, I just feel, I think empty is the best word in those times. Like, I don't know. It's just, I can't really explain it. And I don't want to sound like I'm, you know, always like feeling this way, but it has been a lot lately.
Do you think you should be different than you are?
Yes.
And
yeah, I don't think I should be different. I think my choices a lot of times should be different.
And if your choices would be different, then what would be different?
I'd have more of what I want.
But you said you don't want anything.
Well, I have pictures of, I mean, I have visions of what I want or have wanted that have never been there.
And do you want those things because they've never been there?
I think so.
Or do you want the things you intended prior to your birth?
I mean, I don't know, because I don't know what those things are. All I know is...
We know what they are.
I've had desires for certain things for a long, long time, and
so
never having those things...
Here's what you wanted prior to your birth. You wanted to be free. You wanted to be abundant. You wanted to love. You wanted to experience joy and harmony. And maybe along the way, explore reality in a more specific and nuanced way. Now, we might say, looking at your life from our perspective, that everything is working out perfectly, that you're getting everything you want. And especially the part of exploring reality in a more specific way, in a way that nearly no humans have ever experienced it before. Well, we will say in a way that no humans have ever experienced before. Absolutely unique. Absolutely perfect. The only trick here is that you chose a trajectory that made life seem as if you needed to get different things than you had. You need to have different experiences than those that you were experiencing. You need to be different than you were, than you are, so that you could live life the way you think you should live, not the way you intended to live. Okay. If you had the ability to express love, to enjoy abundance and joy and passion and freedom, would you want anything else?
No, probably. I mean, yeah, a family is something that I feel like I've never really had.
Okay. So in the lack of a family, you feel that having a family would erase that feeling of lack, would give you the abundant feeling that you want. What is, how would you describe the feeling of having a family?
The feeling of a really close connection, a really close bond.
Okay. So that has nothing to do with family. You're describing something completely different, right? Just because you have a family doesn't mean you're going to have any of those things. That has nothing to do with it, right?
I understand that.
Yeah. So what you want is the close connection, a bond.
Yeah.
Right? How you think you're going to get it is to have a family. But that's not what you truly want. That's just what you think you want.
Well, then there's the other part of that, like, the feeling of never feeling that, not even really even knowing what that feels like.
Well, that makes sense. Yes. No. What you're exploring is the idea of not knowing what that feels like, because you know what it feels like. In non-physical, you couldn't be any more connected. It's not possible. You're completely connected. What you're exploring here is that feeling of not being connected. You know why you're doing that?
So that I could not need it.
So that in the non-physical, you're really going to understand this feeling of connection. Because that feeling of disconnection is something you cannot feel in the non-physical. It's impossible, right? So the depths of this exploration of disconnection, which we will say is all in your perspective, because it's not true. You're not ever disconnected. You are connected so strongly just in this group that you can't say you're disconnected. You are so connected with your inner self and with your millions, you can never be disconnected. But it's this playing with this idea that it's even a possibility. That is one aspect here. Now, that's fine. You've played with this idea. You feel disconnected. And now you've created desires for connection. Yet, there's something that is preventing you from feeling connected. So you've come here to explore this idea of being disconnected. You've done that enough. You don't need to do it anymore. From this day forward, you never need to feel disconnected again. You've felt it. It's great. Your inner self is like, the job's done. Check that one off. Now you can do whatever you want to do. You can completely change everything from this day forward. Everything can change. However, if you're not getting what you think you want, getting what you truly want, because there's something in you that's causing you to choose the same limiting perspective day in, day out. You wake up tomorrow, you can have the same thought, the same perspective, and that perspective is going to be, there's no connection. There's no connection. The law of attraction states that you must get what you think about. I perceive my life as no connection. You must get the feeling of no connection. Now, who are you connected with? Who could you talk to? Who could you pick up the phone and talk to? How many people?
Me.
There's at least two. Very good.
Yeah. Tracy, Kyla, Isabel. There's at least a bunch of them.
Now, and there's probably family members you could call and talk to, right? Now, you're going to say to yourself that feeling of talking to these, you know, random people that you have on an internet call once in a while, that you see an event once in a while, that's not true connection. What you want is this connection where people know you intimately, inside and out. And you're saying that is true connection. And that all this other stuff is not connection at all. Right? So we see you from this place of actually very intense connection. And we could point out to you about 3 billion people who have less of a connection to people than you. But they don't perceive it that way. They have a connection with their cat. Cats, we should say. And that connection is very deep. So they're just perceiving themselves as having a connection where you might look at them and say, oh, they don't have any family. They don't have any children. They don't have any parents. They don't have any siblings around. They don't have a mate. That's not connection. That's just a cat. Cats. And we say, it's your perspective. It doesn't matter. Because your idea of connection may not even be a reality. It may be so far out there that it defies the laws of the universe. Because you aren't here to get someone to connect to you. You're here just to love and accept. Accept what's happening. Right? The connections that you do have. And if you want to build on those, you can build on those. But if you want them to use the idea that there's some kind of lack in there, because this is how you've been perceiving your life for a very long time, then you're going to perceive more lack. No matter who comes along, you're going to perceive more lack. You might attract a mate, and you might have this incredible, intense relationship with the mate. Yet, you might perceive it as not connected enough, based on your perception. Based on your, you know, history, we'll say, your trajectory. Because you've been exploring this, right? Go ahead.
No, I understand it. I completely understand. And I just feel like my beliefs and fears are compounded. And they're just one on top of the other, on top of the other. And it just feels overwhelming to break it down day in and day out. Like, every day I have to, like... I don't know how to explain it. It just feels like a lot to get to where I'm creating something that I prefer.
Okay. Well, here's how we'll start. Start by saying that everything right now is perfect as it is. That everything happened to this point in time is perfect as it is. There is no wrong. That, in fact, you do have connections. Okay?
Yeah.
They may not be as strong as you think they should be. But you cannot deny that you have connections. So here's what you start. If you truly want to do, you can also truly want to feel sorry for yourself, and that's fine too. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that either. You can truly want to work on those limiting beliefs, or you could truly want to, you know, wallow in negative emotion. Either way is expansive and fine. And there is no one way that's better than the other way. But if you have a desire and you want to become a vibrational master of the desire, then there is a way that works with the laws of the universe that will help you do that. So would you like to hear the first way to do it?
Yes.
Okay, excellent. We were hoping you'd say that. So the first step is what? Is appreciation and gratitude.
Right? Yes.
The first step towards anything is appreciation and gratitude. I appreciate that I can call Isabel. I appreciate that I can call Kyla. I appreciate being on the Friends of Joshua Facebook page and that I can see what my friends are doing. I appreciate this connection that I have. I imagine 100 years ago that it wouldn't be so easy to have this connection. There may not have been telephones, or it might have been long distance, or there might have been no one to talk to about the things that I'm interested in. But now I'm in this environment of technology, and I can get on Skype and see my friends' faces and talk to them. And so I start with the acknowledgement that I am connected to these people, even though they don't really know me, even though they can never really know me, even though no one can really know me. You might have a child, and the child will see you from their perspective as the child, and the child will never know you. You might have a mate, and the mate will see you from that perspective that is unique and will never really know you. So this idea of depth of connection can be played with. I want someone I can talk to. That's a deep connection. I want someone to talk to about things that I'm interested in. I want someone who is interested in things that I'm doing. I want to be interested in things that they're doing. That's a deep connection. That's a deep connection. Oh, I have deep connections. I have more deep connections. I have amazing connections. There are lots of people who have conversations about nothing all day long, and they never talk about anything more than the weather. And they deem those connections as deep and meaningful. The interaction that you have with the most deepest connected person in the world is really no different than the interaction you have with a store clerk. It's how you see it is the only way it means anything. How you perceive it, what perspective you choose, that's all it means. You could have an absolutely deep, meaningful connection with a store clerk, with eye contact with someone driving by, with a memory of a loved one, with a conversation with anyone. It's all up to you. It's all in your head. It's all the way you choose to do it. There are people that have intense, deep connections that still don't think those are connections. And there are people that have casual encounters with people who feel deeply connected to everyone. Wendy can talk to an animal and have a deep connection with that animal, mm-hmm. and is grateful for that. And that's a perspective that she takes, right? Because what is a deep connection anyway? You might describe it in a few 100,000 words, in several books, but it's still indescribable. And it is still based on your perception. And you're not regressing. You're advancing. To have this idea that to ask this question and to think about connection and to feel isolated and to realize that that feeling is chosen and realize that there's momentum behind it and you can't get rid of this momentum all at once and that there is no regression. It's impossible to go to backwards. You're always expanding. You're expanding through this feeling of disconnection. You're expanding through asking of this question. You're expanding through listening to this answer. You're expanding through helping all those who will ever hear this, who feel disconnected, realize that it is their perspective, their perception, their the difference between how their inner self feels about this connection and them. You couldn't feel negative emotion if your inner self had the same perspective that you did. If your inner self thought that your life was disconnected, your inner self, frankly, thinks you're wrong about this. Your inner self is not going to agree with you. Your inner self feels that you are highly connected. It's just that you're choosing to perceive it in a way that seems less connected than you think it should be. Only because you chose this trajectory. True. If you chose if you chose the lives of most of the people that you see, you are no more disconnected than they are. You are probably more connected than they are to people and to this idea of connection. But they just don't care. You know, it's not a big deal for them. They didn't have the trajectory that you had. You know, they are exploring something else. So this is your exploration, and you're getting deep into it. And you won't feel better when you make connections. Do you understand that really important part? If you were to make a connection you're not going to feel better. If you were to have
I'll feel better when I feel better.
You'll feel better when you realize that you have connections now. You'll feel better when you appreciate what you do have now. You'll feel better when you understand that this is your exploration now. As soon as you realize all that stuff, you'll feel better. And then the connections will start happening more easily because you're in a resistant mode. Because you're right now you're saying, this connection with you is not strong enough. And this connection with you is not strong. So I got to find someone completely different. And that means, where's this person going to come from? What do I have to do it? I don't know what to do it. It must be something about me that's causing them not to be in my life. The reason that I don't have connections is because no one wants to connect with me, which is not true, obviously, right?
No, it's a weird thing. It feels like I'm in between both as well. Like there's a part of me that wishes I had certain things, but then there's a part of me that doesn't want that either. Not that I don't want that, but understands that my connections come from wherever that I'm led to or whoever shows up also. I don't know. It's just really confusing to be where I am.
First of all, start with realizing that you are very connected, that your perception of connection is skewed based on your trajectory, based on the life that you've lived so far. That other people, when they think of the idea of connection, would say that if they were as connected to people as you are right now, they would feel connected. So it's not that you're not connected, it's just that you don't feel connected. That's all it is, right? It's just a definition of the term connection. And you think that connection is going to be the thing that fills the hole inside you, and it's not. Yeah. You know why it's not going to fill the hole?
Because I'm already connected.
And there's no hole. The hole's a misconception. It's a belief that's inaccurate. There is no hole. You can't fill a hole that doesn't exist. Nothing is going to make you feel different about yourself on the outside conditions. It's all an inside game, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So
I'm
looking at the outside conditions for signs of connection, signs of worthiness, signs of any of the stuff, right? And saying, it's not there, so now I feel fear because it may never come. You're just in this loop that's going to keep going around and around. Yeah. Are you writing lists of appreciation and gratitude?
No.
Yeah, try that. Are you meditating?
Yes.
Are you practicing choosing higher perspectives? Are you talking to yourself the way that all of the your loved ones, all of those you're connected to would talk to you?
No.
Yeah. So it's practice. It's practice, practice, practice. It's not easy, but that's the work. You can you can choose to do the work, or you can choose to experience the contrast.
I understand the work, and I've also gone back to the beginning of the live calls, and I'm getting a lot out of that over again, or new things, and I understand it. It just, the work is a lot.
Yes, the work is a lot, and the fun thing about this is that you came here to be a master teacher, and this is how you're teaching, because so many people are getting so much out of your specific journey, your questions and answers. You can't imagine the benefit that you are offering so many people right now, because so many people are going through the exact same thing that you're going through. And you don't have to be any different than you are right now. You are absolutely perfect as you are. Go ahead.
Is the unveiling on a time? Not on time, but like, I feel like sometimes the unveiling is also in the right time. Is it in the right time as well? If that makes sense.
Explain what you mean by unveiling.
Like becoming more clear about working or understanding where I, like, so the way I think today is very different from the way I did 3 months ago.
Right. Yes. Now, think a little bit longer, and we don't want to discourage you here. But from a higher perspective, imagine that you came to teach. Imagine that you came to be a master teacher. Imagine that you're teaching right now in this question, in this conversation, in all of your one-on-one questions, in all of your other calls. Would it be of any benefit for you to be fixed today? Or would you continue to choose to teach?
I would continue to choose to teach.
Yet, you do not have to do it in despair. Right? Mm. Yeah. Mm. So right now, you're choosing to teach by being an example. Being an example of being interested in the law of attraction, being interested in these teachings, openly talking about what you want, your frustrations, all that stuff. Okay, so having the frustrations allows you to ask the questions, which allows you to teach. But that doesn't mean that the frustration needs to continue, because it just means that you will at some point feel like a teacher, rather than needing to be perfect before you teach. See, right now, you are teaching. You may not see this as teaching, but you are teaching. And you want to teach in the future too, but you think that you have to be fixed in order to teach others. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, that's the point of when I, that's a source of when I am, I guess, mean to myself. It's because I'm like, well, how am I supposed to teach if every day I feel like...
Yeah. So right now you're teaching by feeling that. Okay. As soon as you give up the need to be holier than thou, or perfecter than thou, or better than thou, or more worthy than thou, or more experienced than thou, then you'll be able to teach how you, in a way that you don't need to, you know, have all these frustrations, right?
Yeah.
Can you see this from our perspective? What we're saying is that
this
is the only way you can teach now, because you're stuck on this idea that you should be different than you are. As soon as you realize that who you are is perfect as you are, that you don't need to be one iota different than you are, that everything about you is perfect, that you could teach anything you want to teach right now. It's absolutely perfect. You're not going to get more certified. You're not going to get any more degrees. You're not going to get any more, you know, accolades or anything to hang on your wall that says you're qualified. You have no more qualifications. How you are right now is exactly how. Now, you have to teach. So right now you're teaching by being an example of unalignment. And in the future, when you say, I'm done with that. You'll be teaching by being in alignment, being inspired to just go for it. Just do it. So we're happy to have you with us as the example of frustration. But once you give that up, you can be the example of, I don't give a shit anymore. I'm just going to teach.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Excellent, kid. Well, certainly this is the best of the best. This is the greatest hits version of the teachings of Joshua.
Absolutely. We're
thrilled that you're here. We had an idea this was going to be a special call, but it exceeded our expectations. And next week's going to be even better. So we can't wait to see you then. And until then, we're complete.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Joshua Live. If you have a question you would like Joshua to answer on the show, send us a message on Facebook at www.facebook.com/teachingsofjoshua. As always, remember that you are loved more than you can imagine by more than you could ever count. We'll see you next time.